Thank you. Thank you, Sue, and thank you for more of your time on meetings. I will try and brief it. The paper is just paper 5 that we prepared for this meeting was just to get some of, we were interested in getting your views to the extent any of you have views on this or accounting, because we realised that in the past, and very importantly, we sort of always talk to you about Lithuanian accounting, but never really got, at least more recently, your thoughts on Lithuanian work. A very quick summary, in terms of what the proposals are in terms of changing lessor, what is not changing is essentially what happens for real estate leases from a lessor perspective. What is not changing as well is anything that any accounting for sort of finance leases today. So those leases that are effectively almost equivalent to selling an asset, that's not changing. But where there was a proposal for change is anywhere that you had operating leases today of anything other than real estate. So kind of things like 3 and 4 year car and truck leases, 7 year airplane leases, and also including probably, you know, some leases of some of those things that are not real estate that are longer life assets, drilling rigs, satellites, rail cars, etc. And what the change proposed is, and we tried to set out an illustrative example in paragraph 11, that kind of shows the change which is both in the balance sheet and income statements, and the change is really to make those leases of equipment or vehicles look much more like financing transactions, in a sense. So the lessor would, having entered into the lease, and for example, if the airplane now goes off to the airline for the next 7 years, instead of keeping that airplane on the balance sheet, recognising rental income, typically straight line and depreciation, you would treat it much more like financing. You would say, okay, I no longer have the airplane anymore. I have a receivable from the lessee for 7 years. I'll apply a discount rate and measure it on a discounted basis. And I also clearly have a retained interest in getting that airplane back at the end of 7 years. And that's the other asset. And then what would flow through the income statement is it would again look much more like financing. There would be interest income flowing through on both those asset pieces. And to the extent that there is any profit element there, so assuming that, you know, either you're a manufacturer that's able to manufacture it for less than you could sell it for, or there's just any differential between what you carry the asset at and what you could sell it for, there could be a piece of profit recognised at the start of the lease. I included in the paper, I'm going to, in pages 5 and 6, sort of feedback that we've heard so far. I just included that to provide more flavour to you, but as Robert and others pointed out earlier, it wasn't intended to lead you in any direction, because clearly I realise you are a very independent body that that won't be influenced necessarily by the views of others. So overall, it is just there to give you a flavour of what we've heard, and we're particularly keen on getting any of your views just on what, you know, what you think the right answer from your perspective is on this sort of matter.
I must admit to having some agreement with the observation that certain long-lived assets that are rented multiple times don't necessarily have the characteristics of financing, but I think many do. And I think the problem you're going to have is describing a principle that enables you to differentiate between the two. Now, the only thing I could come up with, after thinking about it and mentioning it and discussing it at lunch, was that there are clearly some assets where the renter is buying capacity / service / utility. So, for example, that's true of short-term cars. You hire a car for a week, you don't care whether it's 6 months old, a year old, or 18 months old. The value of what you've rented has clearly changed, because the car will have depreciated quite substantially, but the rent that you pay doesn't vary. Now, clearly, those are short-term leases, and they're going to be accounted for like an old operating lease, and you'll be historic cost accounting down to your residual value if you're a car rental company. But there are some parallels with a rig or a pipe-laying vessel. You know, if you can lay a certain amount of pipe in a certain period of time, you'll pay the day rate for the 2 years that you want it, whether it's a year old or four years old or 8 years old. And it's then very difficult to take that same cash rental stream and effectively disaggregate the value, but to get a different answer between, well, how much of it's financing, because clearly the value of the vessel has changed, and how much of it's recovering your depreciation. The maths just don't seem to stack up to me. And so I sort of do believe that you've got this something that's a bit different. And I also agree with some of those assets, the residual value of them is so volatile, or can be, depending on where you are on the economic cycle and supply-demand balance, that you could, in theory, have a fair value of your asset at the inception of the lease, where you genuinely believe the residual value could be double or triple what the current spot fair value is. And then I'd be a little bit concerned about bleeding in a gain, a non-cash gain, up to a residual value for several years. And so I think where you've got those two characteristics, some, you know, accounting for them more like cars in a way, on which are short-term leases, has some attraction to me. I'm not sure that's the case though where the, like an airline, where the value of the rent that you can get for a 7-year lease for a 7-year old plane is significantly lower than a 7-year lease on a brand new plane. And I think that the two things do reflect differential pricing.
Yes, so I think you would say that if we were to go around any kind of change and trying to differentiate when you apply one model or the other, and even whether it's business model or other, this kind of test, in a sense, of looking at maybe how much you could get for, you know, renting a new asset versus when you rent it the second time or the third time.
And I think if you're going down some sort of business model approach, you've got to find a pretty rigid principle. Otherwise, everyone's going to try and get that operating lease classification because it, you know, gives you a nice smooth profit profile. But I do accept the fact that clearly you've had preparers and users who analyse those assets, like drilling rigs and rail cars and whatever, who I think made some good points.
Can I just add to that? I think the beauty of Jeff's suggestion is that it keeps alive the relation between the underlying economics and how we account for them. And I think if anything that the ISB has been trying to achieve with the leases project is to remain close to reflect the underlying economics, and I think that's just suggestion keeps that in place. And I think it's important to whatever solution you try to find is that it doesn't open the door all the way for choices and earnings management, and I think a decent principle as formulated will respond to the concerns while not creating accounting uncertainty for users. So I fully support Jet's suggestion.
But I think if you can't find a principle that works, then I think it's very hard to argue that a cash flow stream doesn't have, you know, the present value unwind characteristics that you described in your redo.
Actually, Jed, which hat are you wearing when you make those comments? Because I'll tell you why I'm asking the question is I'm struggling with, would my answer be different if I was the banker or the note holder of lending money to the leasing company, or whether I was an equity player? And I'm thinking about what the asset is. So if I'm a lender, I'm not sure whether the asset is the contract. Think of an airplane. Is my asset the fact that I've got an airplane and it's rented out, or is my asset I've got a contract with Lufthansa? And I'm so I wanted to know, which hat are you wearing when you make these comments? Are you thinking? Are you thinking equity? Understanding? Are you doing equity enterprise? Are you the note holder? Or which hat do you think you're wearing?
I think I'm equity.
Okay,
thinking
helps.
About trying to understand the business model and the cash flow streams I'm getting for providing this asset to my customers to use. And I'm not, I think if I'm the bank lending to the leasing company, I'm going to be doing on asset bank financing.
So you think it may be the plane that matters, not the rent, not the contract with Lufthansa that matters?
Yeah, I think it's the plane that matters. If you're lending to the leasing company.
So when I went through this and I was trying to think, that was actually my reaction. I sort of said from a business point of view, yeah, this all makes sense, and I like the fact that it all holds together. And then I said, wait a minute, if I'm really the and I was thinking of the note holder, private placement type person, somebody, and I was looking at this and I said, no, I think the asset is plain, not the contract. And I haven't had a chance to think it through, but you may want to explicitly explore those two, the informational needs of those two users and how they view it. There's a real possibility that some of those users will think that their asset is the plane and take great comfort that it's rented, and not think that they basically lent money to somebody that's got a contract with Lufthansa. And so I think you need to explore that, and I wish I could give you more guidance, but I can't right now.
Can I ask one final question, really? If there is anything, I'm thinking through this more, and by the way, reading more of the feedback that the board's deciding not to make any real change to the accounting for lessor, is there a particular extra disclosure that therefore you might think would be useful that would be missing? So if we somehow decide, say, that the airplanes and the trucks and cars, if they're not in substance sales, then they're going to stay on the lessor's balance sheet and they'll get more rental income. Is there more information about its exposure to residual value or other things that you would want to see in disclosure?
Do not ask a user group for what added disclosure they want, because they're likely to give you a very long list.
Yeah.
Specific. That would really make a difference.
Well, the key thing of the... I think it would be really sad if we had to refer to the plan. Well, I wouldn't mention it as B, but more as a Z. But if we were to, I think the profit on lease line would complement the first take. So what would be the profit on lease if it were accounted for according to the second schedule? Because let's face it, if you are, for example, a rig, producer and lessor, you would want to see, you are creating most of the profits in the first years. And the first schedule actually leads to a lot of smoothing, which I think some analysts like because it makes their life much easier, especially sell-side analysts. But to be honest, if you're an asset owner, you probably want to see the economic volatility of the company you invest in your face, because that's the true volatility that you're exposed to as an asset owner. I think, obviously, the second schedule is much more in line with economics, but a bit of insight of the second schedule would be helped. Would remain if we only see the profit.
Okay, I've probably taken more time than I should.
We will need to move on to the next question. Thank you.
I thank you very much.